God promises those who love Him will experience joy. He promises us a glory that is so great that the sufferings of the present time will seem light. So the beauty and the glory and the splendor that's awaiting us must be astonishingly great.
Today on the Songtime broadcast, we'll continue our series, A Proverb a Day in May. In this message from Dr. Tom Schreiner, we'll talk about how Lady Wisdom holds wisdom and joy and peace and rewards in her hands. Stay tuned for that message. But first, we're going to be joined by Dr. Matthew Harmon as we talk about the little-known epistles, 2 Peter and Jude, that talk about God as a judge and savior. The many voices come together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. Before we get into our series, A Proverb a Day in May, we're going to start off by looking at two often overlooked letters in the New Testament. This is 2 Peter and Jude, and we're joined today by Matthew Harmon, who's the author of a new book called The God Who Judges and Saves, A Theology of 2 Peter and Jude. It's a real privilege to have you with us today, Matt. Thank you so much for joining us. The book title here kind of gives away the subject of your book, The God Who Judges and Saves. We often like to think of God as loving and kind, and God provides salvation. It's actually really hard for us to wrap our mind around the God who judges. Obviously, it's there in Scripture, but we're pretty easy or pretty good at dodging those passages and just kind of focusing in on the ones that are positive and uplifting. So tell us a little bit about this book and why it's so important for us to understand the complexity of God as not only our Savior, but also the judge of the universe.
Well, ultimately, even those people that I think want to downplay those realities, if they're honest with themselves, they want a God who brings judgment on the wicked and the evil. Because all of us, when we see horrible acts of wickedness and evil in this world, we have this innate sense of someone needs to do something about that. That person or those people need to experience the consequences of their evil or of their wickedness. And so this is especially true if we're the ones who are wronged. When we are wronged, especially in very serious and awful ways, it is right for us to want justice, for us to want God to bring those who perpetrate evil to be responsible for their actions. So all of us want that. I think the question becomes then, how do we define evil? What counts as wickedness? And I think we often underestimate the depths of our own sin and the depths of our own wickedness. But all we have to do really is to look at the cross to see that if that's what it took for us to be made right with God, then the severity of our sin must be much greater than we often realize.
The subject of judgment is not baseless. It's not our opinion. We're not reading into this. In fact, both Jude and 2 Peter start with their thesis of a defense of the Word of God, and you do that as well. This is the most important thing, is all of these things are pulled from Scripture. If we want to say, well, Jesus taught about love, Jesus taught about grace, and Jesus taught about kindness, Jesus also taught a lot about judgment, even in the Gospels. We can't separate even Jesus from the Old Testament. We have to put them together and understand that judgment is seen throughout the Word of God.
Yes, and the irony is that if you downplay or ignore the aspect of God's holiness, His justice, His righteousness, that you actually undermine the depth and the beauty of His love and His grace and His mercy, because it gets back to something that Jesus said, in the essence of those who are forgiven little love little, but those who are forgiven much love much. And the point is, when you understand the depths of God's holiness and the depths of your own sin, the only natural response is worship and thanksgiving and gratitude. But the fact that God would save us from that disastrous reality of our sin.
for any of our listeners who are wondering, all right, this is great. I'm glad we had the conversation, but I don't know how to break in to these often overlooked letters, 2 Peter and Jude. And when I read them, I'm often confused. I've tried the commentary route. What's different about your approach in this theological macro lens is going to be helpful for them?
Yeah, so again, I try to show how the themes that show up in these letters are rooted in the larger story from Genesis to Revelation. And so, like you said earlier, I think sometimes stepping away from the individual trees and looking at the entirety of the forest can really help us catch the big picture. I think one of the mistakes that people make when reading the Bible is they get hung up on, well, I don't understand that detail, and I don't understand that detail, and I don't understand that detail. That's okay. Look for the big picture. Look for the larger scope of what God is saying. So maybe you don't understand how all the pieces fit together, but if you understand these larger themes that unite these books and that run through the canon, you can still benefit immensely from reading these letters. And over time, I think God gives us more insight and wisdom as we read over the letters repeatedly and rely on resources, talk about them with friends or with a pastor or with other ministry leaders to say, do you understand what he's saying here? I'm not sure what Jude is getting at here. And not just looking at the understanding piece, but looking at the, okay, so how do I apply this to my life? The false teachers look a little bit different in my day than they did then. So what sort of things should I be alert to? What sort of sins should I be looking at for my own life that Jude or 2 Peter are identifying? And how can I learn to grow in obedience in those areas?
We've been talking with Dr. Matthew Harmon about his book. It's called The God Who Judges and Saves, A Theology in 2 Peter and Jude. If you're interested in getting started in a Bible study, whether with a group or as an individual, this would be a great resource because it will help you wrestle with some often overlooked epistles in the New Testament. 2 Peter and Jude serve as a great source of learning a skill that is often neglected in our personal Bible reading and as well as our sort of group Bible studies. That's looking deeper in the text and understanding the complexities of theology in Scripture. Since 2 Peter and Jude are so short as letters, they really allow you to spend more time with the text and go a little bit deeper without rushing through to get the greater context of the full narrative of the letter. So I really commend to you this book by Matthew Harmon. You can find out more information about the God who judges and saves when you give us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Well, we're also in the middle of another series where we're challenging you to study the Bible. It's our series that we do annually, A Proverb a Day in May. This is where we encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs by looking at the calendar, seeing what today's date is, and then reading the corresponding chapter in the book of Proverbs. We do this every year, and this year we've gotten a lot of response from our listeners who have taken up this challenge, and I am so excited because we've been doing it for a number of years now, but this has been the one that we've gotten a lot of people saying they're committed to doing this. So if that's you, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you, and I want to help you through the book of Proverbs. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today as we look to this message from Tom Schreiner. He's a professor, he's a pastor, he's an author. He really does get into some deep stuff here as we unpack a theme in the book of Proverbs. And the theme that we can see throughout the instructions of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly as she instructs us to be lazy and to be a sluggard and to be a fool. This is actually important for us to understand that Lady Wisdom holds in her hand life, joy, and peace, but only if we listen to her and follow her instruction. If we choose to listen to Lady Folly, we will have the opposite. Shorter life, we won't have peace, and we won't have true joy. Here is Tom Schreiner with a closer look at our study, A Proverb a Day in May.
Proverbs promises amazing rewards to those who know God, to those who are wise. There are some Christians out there who've said we should never be motivated by rewards. That view sounds spiritual, but it doesn't actually fit with what the Bible says. God promises to reward us richly if we trust Him and if we obey Him. Seeking a reward is wrong if the reward doesn't fit with what we're seeking. If you want the reward of marriage because you love a woman's money, the reward doesn't fit with seeking the woman. So that kind of seeking is wrong, isn't it? So, rewards are everywhere in the Bible, aren't they? In the New Testament and the Old Testament. But we also learn from reading the Scriptures that a promise of reward is not enough to draw us near to God, to save us. Even though rewards alone aren't sufficient to keep us faithful, it's still true that God promises rewards if we follow Him. The rewards that are promised for those who fear the Lord, for those who follow the Lord, are life, joy, and peace. God promises us life, joy, and peace. So let's first look at life. We're promised life if we follow the Lord. So Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Now, I think he's thinking of physical life there, on life on earth. Or Proverbs 11:19, whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live, but he who pursues evil will die. Fearing the Lord and steadily pursuing righteousness is the way to life. Life in this world. Are there exceptions? Of course there's exceptions. But generally speaking, those who love God and do His will experience blessing. Along the same lines, we're told that righteousness delivers us from trouble in this life. Proverbs 11:6. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. Are you ensnared by anything? Prospering isn't based on perfection. We prosper when we're honest, when we admit our sins. Those who face calamity are those who harden their hearts and say, I didn't do anything wrong. This text says, be honest and confess them. Bring our sins to the light. Second truth. So first, life. Secondly, God promises those who love Him will experience joy. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. Or Proverbs 12:28. The hope of the righteous brings joy, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Or Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. God promises that ultimately the godly will have joy. I mean, the wicked want to have joy. That's what they're strategizing and planning for every day. But ultimately, they won't have it. And one of my favorite verses, Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. When you're full of sadness, I don't know if you are today, but you will be. Those moments are going to come. When you're full of sadness, remind yourself of that promise. Ultimately, morning's coming. It is coming. Ultimately, you are going to be full of joy if you know the Lord. Second, I love that line that says, the cheerful heart has a continual feast. You know, those who are cheerful in heart, they have bad days too. But what makes them distinctive is their joy, their happiness in the Lord. The most important thing you can do as parents is to be happy in God, because your children will know if we have joy in God. And then finally, the third blessing we are given is peace. The Lord gives peace to those who follow His ways. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. We read in Romans 5:1 that those who are justified by faith have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have, whether you feel it or not, if you are a believer, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When it gets quiet, when we examine our lives, we can be in the presence of the God of the universe, and we know we're at peace with Him, not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. And if we follow the way of wisdom, we experience that peace. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17 says, her ways, that's wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Or Philippians 4, 7 says that if we know God, we have the peace that passes all understanding, as God guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 14, 30 says, A tranquil heart, do you have that? A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. One of the things that robs us of peace is if we're fiercely competitive with others. And if we're torn up with a spirit of rivalry and competition, when we see others who are better than us and it wounds us and hurts us, what should we do? Pray that the Lord would bless that person even more. Thank God for their skills and abilities, and God will give you peace. Well, I want to close where we began. He promises us a glory that is so great that the sufferings of the present time will seem light. So the beauty and the glory and the splendor that's awaiting us must be astonishingly great. Let's pray that we will believe in such promises. Father, we do praise your name that you love us so much, not only to give yourself to us, but to promise us that if we trust you and obey you, you will bless us and you will reward us in stunning, amazing ways. And help us to believe that there is no greater joy than knowing you. How we praise you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the things that is really important to remember in reading through the book of Proverbs, a proverb a day in May, is that Lady Wisdom and God actually operate on different principles. Not conflicting principles, but different principles all the same. We know that our relationship with God is not based upon works. In fact, we're not saved by our works. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our relationship with God is not dependent upon us doing right things and walking with God all the time. In fact, there is no dark corner in the universe that you can find yourself in where you can't cry out to God, repent of your sins. He will hear you and he will come and save you. That is a universal truth, that there is no way you could be so far away from God that when crying out to him, calling on the name of the Lord, that he won't rescue you. That is the beautiful nature of God's love, his mercy, and his grace. Lady Wisdom, however, operates on a different set of rules because Lady Wisdom is there as a guide working within the natural order. In fact, it even says in Proverbs 8 that through Lady Wisdom, God brought all of creation into existence. He brought everything into a natural order. And this is how life operates. This is how Lady Wisdom operates. She's there to offer you advice, but if you don't heed her advice, if you don't listen to her instruction, then when you end up down this long road that leads to destruction and you cry out to her and say, oh no, I didn't realize this was going to lead to my destruction. Come and rescue me. Lady Wisdom says she will not answer your request. Well, how can that be? How can Lady Wisdom be so cold and callous when God is so gracious and kind? The answer is that the natural consequences that we get ourselves into when we make bad decisions, when we listen to Lady Folly, are not rectified. Our salvation is secure in Christ, but there are still natural consequences. And just because we don't want to accept those responsibilities doesn't mean that we don't have them in our lives. In fact, this is often used as a way to attack God and say that he doesn't hear our prayers, he doesn't respond to us because he didn't rescue us from the natural consequences of our decisions. But here's the truth. If you're lazy, if you don't get up early and you procrastinate on whatever project you're working on, when you get to the day that you're supposed to turn in the project, whether it's homework or something to do at work, and you haven't done any of the work yet, you can't just cry out to Wisdom and say, Wisdom, rescue me, because that is not how she operates. rates. In fact, that is the natural consequence of not doing what wisdom has been instructing you to do all along. Therefore, we need to tune in to wisdom. We need to listen to her voice so that we don't end up in those situations. But in any circumstance, wherever you find yourself in, if you cry out to God, He will save you from your sins. You just might have to deal with the natural consequences of choosing to disregard Lady Wisdom. I hope that this encourages you, and I hope that as you are navigating through a proverb a day in May, that you're benefiting from the wisdom of Lady Wisdom and not following the path of Lady Folly. If we have encouraged you, we'd love to hear from you. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. And when you do, be sure to use the hashtag #AProverbADayInMay to share your favorite proverb that you read for today. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse for this series, Proverbs 3:3-4. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man.